NetSuite brings you Golf Talk America from the Azalea House. NetSuite's the number one cloud financial system, is bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. That's NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. That's NetSuite by Oracle. And by Robody, the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off with Row. That's R-O. Additionally, Factor. We love Factor, too. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Now, here's Golf Talk America live from Azalea House at the Masters.
Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome into Golf Talk America for Saturday wrap at the Masters. What a crazy day. It sounded more like a moving truck. It was moving day, of course, but it sounded more like a moving truck going backwards. It was beep, beep, beep. A lot of people didn't do what we thought they were going to do. Namely, a Bryson DeChambeau, whose scorecard looked like a target from a shooting range after a long day of practice. A lot of holes in that game yesterday. He ended up spending a lot of time out on the practice range last night. Let me back up. Let's go ahead and say Scottie Scheffler, his putting is some of the best he's had. Colin Morikawa, putting really, really well. In fact, above his normal average. Can he maintain that? Max Homa. Well, Max Homa is kind of, you know, my feel-good favorite. Max has had the cleanest cards all week so far. He is playing to his game plan, very steady, very few hiccups. He's not on a birdie, bogey, double bogey, birdie, eagle train. He's just playing, hitting par, making pars. Birdie or so yesterday, shot a 73 with one bogey. So let's see what Max can do today. It's going to be an interesting day because, you know, Xander Schauffele's still lurking in there. So with Schauffele, DeChambeau, Åberg, Max Homa, Colin Morikawa, and Scottie Scheffler, it's going to be a heck of an afternoon in Augusta on Sunday. So a lot of fun. Let's do this. Let's play you an interview that I had yesterday with Steve Elkington late to kind of talk about what we thought was going to happen on Saturday, and then we'll let you be the judge of how we fared with our thoughts and our picks, and then we'll let you hear some of the interviews from the guys after they finish their round. With that being said, I'm going to back out and let you hear some interesting characters. So we are back in Augusta, as always, and guess who is on with us? Our good friend, two-time player champion and the PGA Championship at Riviera, Mr. Steve Elkington. Steve, what's going on this morning, buddy?
Good morning, Frank. I'm looking forward to an update of the wind today. I've never seen the course, the wind blow that high. Those guys were getting sandblasted there as they were coming in yesterday. I couldn't believe it.
I know you've played that course a lot. Have you ever in your life, somebody said that, right? Have you ever in your life played that golf course under 46 mile per hour winds?
No, but you know, Jackie Burke, the 56 Masters champion, my mentor who died this year, when he won against Venturi, he shot, I think, 71 the last round in 56, and he famously hit a driver and a wedge to number four, the par three, the final day. Same direction as that one yesterday. And it reminded me when the guys were putting on 17, you saw it, and they were putting it way by, and all the sand was on the green. And he knew that. He anticipated that when he got on the 17th green, finished up rolling in a 30-footer, and he said he hit it literally one-third softer than he would remember to do so, and it made it across there easy and knocked it in, and that was the difference maker.
I've never seen the wind like that in my life. It was just incredible. And, you know, it was cool in the morning, and then it warmed up a little bit. But one of the things I was thinking about, and I wanted to ask you, since you do a lot of outdoors things in regard to your agriculture and your plants and growing things. I have allergies. And we all know what the Georgia pine dust is like this time of the year. With those kind of winds, I heard from several people, patrons, that they saw a lot of players sneezing and wiping their eyes and just really struggling. How does that really affect your golf game? When it's got to be tough for the pros as well as the amateurs in life.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think the people that might have got more allergies yesterday, Frank, would have been, what's the state over? Florida? They might have, or South Carolina, they might have got more of it than the people there. Yeah, I mean, most of these guys, they're well prepared for all that, being outside all the time. I used to struggle. You know, this year we're lucky. You'll notice on the telecast there's nothing in bloom, so there's probably, you know, 80% less pollen in the air than normal, so that's helpful if you're that way inclined. But I didn't really. No one gets more allergies than me, and you know, I wasn't that affected up there, thank goodness.
It was really brutal. Well, let's look at your picks. We talked about earlier in the week. I was joking before we went on the air here about your picks. I want to go to Vegas with you. Can we go next week? Because you picked it right.
Buy a lottery ticket.
By two. I'll take one also. Yeah,
Well, you know, I talked about Scheffler, and the data on Scheffler was so overwhelming. That's no surprise. But then I put Bryson next to him. That was a surprise to a lot of people. And here we are. We've got three guys at -6. The winner will probably come out of that, Frank, at -6, with Honma, the last one, at -6. One of those three will probably get to -9 or -10 today. I mean, they're shooting even par basically yesterday in the worst of it. So they're playing some tremendous golf. I mean, Scheffler doesn't even look like it's, when he's playing, doesn't even look like it's that windy. But he's got his ball so much under control. Bryson, he's a little bit of a wild card. I mean, I was talking to you on Tuesday about why I liked him. You know, his swing looks better, you know, hitting it mile with a high draw, great for here. And he was playing by himself, and he was playing late in the day. And I told my son, when you see a player that's by himself late in the day, just relaxed and strolling around, he's not really working on anything. He's probably very content with everything with his game. And that's why I started to focus my attention more on him. And that's why I picked him.
Well, Scheffler, as had an up and down round, you know, both of them, 72, 73. Of the three people at the top, the steadiest, most even-keeled, play-your-game-like-you-set-it-up round at 71 was Max Homa. He had one bogey the entire day. The rest pars, two birdies. What a solid round for Max Homa.
Yeah, and I think for Honma, what's going to benefit him the most this weekend will be that he played the first 2 days with Tiger. So, you know, that was a lot of pressure, an enormous amount of pressure. So normally if you're just out there sort of in your regular threesome, so to speak, and you get to the final group, then he'll be feeling a ton of pressure today. But I think Honma will feel less pressure today. Now, we're going to get to see the golf course this morning, Frank. You know, we've got the four probably, you know, most talked about players are going to be out there. We're going to have a pretty good feel for what's happening out there. You've got Tigers out there this morning, 24th cut in a row. You've got Rahm's out there, the defending champion. You've got Koepka out there. All those three guys, you know, there, and Rory, of course. That's going to give us a feel of what's out there. Some people are saying, you know, mid-60s. But if it's mid-60s, then you have to figure that one of those three are going to shoot mid-60s as well. And that's going to push the lead further away from the guys trying to come up. And that's why it's going to sort of spread eagle this field if the weather's decent and scoreable.
Well, we're going to have to go and talk about it no matter what. At +1, Tiger Woods. You know, Tiger was everyone was worried. Tiger easily got in. I mean, when the cut got to 6, that was just wild. The wind was his friend yesterday, and it helped him because he, you know, as you know, his iron game is still as good as or better than anybody else's, the way he can play it. I was shocked he played that well yesterday, having to play 23 holes.
Well, he does what is so hard for the rookies to do, right? That is to manage their what they have in their bag around Augusta. You know, he knows how to putt, he knows where to chip from, he knows all these things. And, you know, I think one of the reasons that his game looks more steady to me, Max Honma, I was listening to him in Butler Cabin, and he was saying that he was really amazed at how well Tiger kept his ball under control. And I don't know if you noticed it, but when you saw the shot tracer, there was a lot of fades, a lot of big fades, you know, and that was kind of his signature deal. And it went for a while there, Frank, where he was trying to hit the draw, maybe had something to do with the leg or whatever, but he's kind of abandoned that and gone back to sort of more of his natural game, fade shot, and he's sort of, you know, able to keep that ball way more under control and, you know, a few shots here and there, but look, everyone had that yesterday. And, you know, Tiger still thinks he's in it. And you know what? We talked about it on your show earlier in the week. We don't know what he's thinking. Hey, he could be still in it in his mind. I don't know, but he's probably not. But it's going to be great to see him out there in the red on Sunday.
Absolutely. It's going to be exciting to see him. That's what people are here for. I mean, let's be honest. They're here to see Tiger play. But a lot of the LIV players have fared fairly well, given the weather conditions we've had the past 2 days. So there, a lot of them are still in it. I don't want to dive into that as much as I want to go to one other player that we talk about a lot. Let's go to two. Let's go to Jordan Spieth and let's go to Justin Thomas. Where did those numbers come from that they threw up? My gosh.
Well, Jordan made one big mess of the 15th hole, I think.
Horrible.
The end of the first round where he made a nine.
Yeah.
You know, he's had trouble. Even though he's won the Masters, you recall he messed up the 12th hole.
Oh,
you know,
Lord,
he
yeah.
dunked it, and then he dropped it and dunked it again. He did similar to that yesterday. I think he went over, and then he chipped from over, dunked it, then had to go, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think, and then, of course, Justin Thomas just had the big nightmarish finish. What it was, a double-double bogey double to miss by one. Are you kidding me?
That's heartbreaking for him. Yeah, I'm sure he's
just
livid.
I don't know what they're doing, but no excuse for Thomas. I mean, he could par the last four holes in any kind of weather, blindfolded. He could bogey the last four holes blindfolded, excuse me. Spieth's game's not been very good. I think it was miscut players, and Valspar had a decent finish at Texas and then miscut again. So he's on the ropes. I think it's all about his swing, Frank. He has some crazy positions. He has a bad grip. He has all these things that he's been able to overcome, but it's just kind of catching up to him here a little bit. You know, of course, he's always been able to scramble and putt well, but it's nothing's working at all right in the Spieth camp.
No, it's a disappointment, I'm sure, to all the patrons as well as, you know, those of us who follow the game for a living. But I want to go back to our friend Bryson DeChambeau. When I looked at your paper when you were sitting next to me and we were about to call who was in the pound and who was out of the dog pound, who was in the dog pound, as you put it so eloquently.
Yeah, who were the big dogs and who were in the pound chasing the
exactly,
pack, right?
Yeah. And I saw DeChambeau and I went, really? Do you think he's going to get out there? Have you looked at his numbers? Have you seen his driving distance average? First round, 316.
Oh, yeah.
Second round, 308. Really?
Yeah.
He's just burning it up.
Yeah, he, you know, he's an equipment guy. He's a swing guy. What I see with him more than anything is his change in attitude. You know, he talked the other day at the press conference about that huge mistake he made when he said that par for him at Augusta was 67. He said that was just the stupidest thing anything anyone could ever say. And when you take a player with that much talent, that has that much skill and has won a major, and he's admitted a mistake and he's willing to change his theory and change his strategy, then they become very dangerous, Frank, because if they're hitting the ball well and now they're going to play the course the way it's supposed to, and, you know, he talks about, hey, I'm just trying to get on this green and get out of here with a par and go to the next hole and just move on and stay near the lead. They become very dangerous when they think that way because they've gone through the ringer before, much of ridicule, a bunch of criticism, you know, a bunch of embarrassment, a little bit like Hovland. Hovland never said anything, but Hovland backhanded a putt yesterday on 15. He probably could have knocked one in coming down the stretch and made the cut. It becomes embarrassing for, to them sort of personally, like, what am I doing? What am I saying? What's happening here? So Hovland looks fish out of water, but going back to Bryson, he's very dangerous, Frank, because he's hitting it well, and he has length, like massive amount of length. However, he is paired up with a guy that's just casually strolling along, doing his business, and that's Scheffler.
Yep.
And Scheffler is just a machine, and he is not going anywhere. Honma's a bit of a dice roll. He could hang. I don't see Honma pushing ahead away from the pack. I could be dead wrong, but it's going to be out of those three.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and you are the resident Swami with your calls these days. It's I'm telling you, I think Maxie, I like Max a lot. Max could be a superstar in my opinion on this tour. If he pulled this off, if he won the Masters, his stardom would go through the roof because he's so well liked out there. He and the tour, you know, Scheffler and DeChambeau. Well, DeChambeau's not on the PGA Tour, but Scheffler is well liked. He's undoubtedly the best golfer there is out there. Period. But there's not a personality superstar that jumps out on the PGA Tour right now. And I think that would be very helpful to the PGA Tour for Max to win this tournament and put him in the forefront of golf. Now, he'd have to carry that out and the kind of pressure that comes with a major on your shoulders, as you well know, and especially two players championships. It's a different kind of pressure when you get to that level, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. But, you know, one of the things that we've noticed this week, I think, is that the fans or the patrons at Augusta, they're not concerned about the, you know, supposed to like or dislike, you know, Bryson or Hatton or, you know, Koepka or any of these guys. They're enjoying the golf.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told a story to you on Tuesday about Bryson, where he stood on the first tee in a practice round on Monday and hit a 3-wood off the first tee, and then he pulled out another ball and you know, 10 deep around the first tee was screaming out, "You hit the driver, Bryson, hit the driver." So he pulled his head cover off, and when he did, the place went crazy, and he just demolished a ball about 350 up the first fairway, and he was applauded and screamed at all the way going down the first fairway. They loved it. And I turned to whoever, and I told you on this very show that these guys, they don't care. They just want to see this golf stuff, right? They just want to see the action.
And you know what comes to mind is nobody ever went to a baseball game back in the day when Ruth was playing or Mickey Mantle was playing and said, but they wanted to see the big ball. They wanted to see the home run. And that's still to this day in golf. The John Daly in his day, everybody just wanted to see Big John pound it, and they still do when he goes out to play a PGA Tour Champions event. But it's going to be a fabulous day here. I mean, it's gorgeous. Actually, the winds are very light. They're supposed to pick up to maybe 20 mile per hour gusts, which is like a sneeze to these guys after what they experienced yesterday.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And I think, you know, I think Augusta has a nice, nice heritage about setting up the golf course, Frank. Probably today a little tougher than tomorrow. Tomorrow they've sort of learned their lesson on everything, right? Augusta, you know, they tried rough for a while, and they realized that when they had rough that the ball wouldn't run into the tree, so they cut the rough back down, and now there's no roughs. For example, if you hook the ball at 2 or push the ball at 14, now it runs 40 yards into the trees, and that's where it's supposed to be. But they, as you know, historically, you know, talking, Frank, on Sunday, they set up the golf course where you can get it. I think today will be a little bit more tricky. I think you'll see that top piano pin on 6. You'll see some of these really tough pins. And, you know, whoever's going to push forward in the morning, okay, whatever. They're coming from 4-5 over, Rory 4 over, Tiger 1 over. What could they do? Well, Tiger lights it up, shoots 66. That puts him at 5 under, 1 off the lead. With the guys starting out, well, you got to figure that, you know, if Tiger shoots 6 under, then one of those 3 that are playing better are going to shoot 6 under. So it's going to be a little bit of a, let's have a look in the morning, Frank. Let's enjoy some of these star players out there and let's see what's out there.
Well, this, I will tell you, just going down all the missed cuts, all the names that missed the cut, this Masters is loaded with big names that are playing, that have made the cut, you know, Tiger being the biggest name of all. But, I mean, from Hideki Matsuyama all the way back up, McIlroy, I mean, Neiman, Mickelson, Galladay. I mean, it's going to be a great Masters. I think it really is.
There was a lot of guys that got lucky yesterday, Frank. There were.
Matsuyama,
you mentioned, had a double bogey on the last hole to miss the cut, allegedly, and then all of a sudden Thomas went haywire and went completely off the rails. And I was texting with some of my guys that were, you know, all sweating their DraftKings teams, and they're like, oh, they're already ready to jump off the balcony, and then all of a sudden they're all back in again. So, you know, there was only about whatever, you know, there's only 90, what is it, 86 players. There's like 70, man. There's only 15 guys missed the cut. And in that bunch, there's a ton of talent. However, you know, Vijay Singh, 61, made the cut. Jose Maria Olazabal made the cut at maybe in his 60s as well. Phil Mickelson, 53, made the cut. So that's interesting, you know, when you're an older player like me, Frank, and you watch that, you know, these past champions get to play, and then they're in there on the weekend. It's cool to see them, the patrons, or they'll have some appreciation for that when they see these guys going off this morning.
And the boy on the number, I say boy, I shouldn't say that, the man on the number is the fan favorite of every kid that likes orange, Ricky Fowler, and he made it on the number. So, wow.
Yep. And
wow.
We talked about his chances in your show, and we had it something like he would have to roll snake eyes dice four times in a row to get into the bottom of the top 10. So my prediction there was pretty good too, I guess.
Yeah, I think you are Karnak the Magnificent in calling golf right now, my friend, to quote an old Johnny Carson skit that he used to do. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. I wish you were still here in Augusta, but I know you're on your way to Champions Club to tee it up, I believe, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to tee it up and come back, work in my garden for a little bit. And, you know, my neighbor's got the package, Frank, the Taste of Augusta, you know, where you can buy now what you can get while you're there now. You get the tablecloth with the mask. You get the cups with the Augusta logo. Then you get the pimento, the deviled egg, and the pulled pork sandwiches. And then we're going to get after it at about 3 o'clock today, mate.
That sounds good. Well, enjoy it. I'll be over there this afternoon watching it myself. And we'll do this again and wrap it up over the weekend. So, my friend, thank you for taking the time to jump on with us, and we will catch you later on and recap.
All right, mate. Have a happy Masters Saturday to everyone.
Yeah, thanks. Steve Elkington, one of the good guys out there. Thank you, Steve, so much for doing this. I'll be right back with more from Augusta. Hey, everybody. Frank Bassett here. You want to eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals? Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Important to me, 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, you need to discover more than 60 add-ons every week. It's fabulous, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. I want you to listen to this and listen to it closely. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring, which is being outside and playing some golf, don't you think? Maybe go to the Masters, whatever. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, hello, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, one of my favorites, and asparagus. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Tailored to your schedule, okay? Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor's your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Key point. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So, let's do this. And listen carefully now. You need to do this. Head to factormeals.com/golftalk50 and use code golftalk50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code golftalk50 at factormeals.com/golftalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. while your subscription is active. So, now that you've heard from myself and Steve Elkington, let's jump in with interviews from Scotty Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, and Will One Max Homa. Let's go.
Colin, welcome. Delighted to have you. Great round today, 69. For the last 2 years, you've had top 10 finishes. Tell us how you feel about your performance so far.
It's been good. If you asked me at the beginning of the week, you know, I'd be one back heading into Sunday. I would have taken that anytime, you know, you give yourself a chance with 18 holes left. That's all you can really do, and everything that you've practiced for, it all comes together tomorrow, hopefully. And, you know, but it's going to be a grind, and I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, I'm opening it up here. Let me start. Zhao Zhan.
Hi, Colin. Thank you so much. Given your impressive performance, I think nobody doubts that you're winning another major, and it's all about win. So do you think the time has come this time?
I mean, I hope so. You know, look, tomorrow anything can happen. There's still a lot of guys right beneath us. We don't know what conditions are going to be like. Greens are getting firmer than I've ever seen out here, so it's going to play a lot different than what we've seen kind of the first two rounds. And, you know, it's but at the end of the day, you know, I know where my head's at. I know what I need to focus on, and I know what needs to be done if I want to, you know, close it off tomorrow.
Okay, Sean Martin, please.
Here's the putting switch between rounds one and two. Just what inspired it, and have you switched putters mid-tournament before?
Oh, yeah, okay. Plenty of times. I mean, college was a fun one. You know, I came into this week not putting well or just not feeling comfortable with the putter I had in my hands, and went full 180, switched to the mallet, switched to the spider, and was feeling great, to be honest. Like, felt really, really good. Felt better than I've kind of felt all year. But sometimes you don't know how it's going to feel in the tournament. And through that Thursday and then Friday, the morning round, it was just for me to finish the round. Like, I just wanted to get the putter out of my hands because I couldn't get comfortable with it. And thankfully, I had a backup, you know, something copy of what I've putted with in the past, pretty much the past year and a half. And, you know, it just kind of felt like old times. So it was nice to have that in the bag again. And didn't make, you know, the putts I necessarily wanted today. Missed a few out there. But, you know, everything still feels comfortable. And that's the biggest thing, is like feeling comfortable kind of going into tomorrow.
Kevin?
Colin, when you've been in the mix in major championships, and then it kind of goes away for a while, as it does with everyone, how much does it ache to want to get that feeling back?
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, I think the last time I was pretty close was probably the U.S. Open in 22 at Brookline. And, you know, they're just different. I mean, as a person and as a golfer, you don't know how you're going to react in those situations. Thankfully, I've already been able to win two. So I can kind of go back on those experiences and just take that experience into tomorrow. Doesn't mean tomorrow's going to be a perfect day. It doesn't mean tomorrow's going to go exactly as I planned, but I know how to prep at least leading up to tomorrow. And you do so much work to get to this spot that, you know, it's really just, can you stick to what you've kind of prepped for? And I think I've got a pretty good plan, so hopefully we can execute it tomorrow.
James.
Colin, you're the only player under par for each of the first three rounds. You seem pretty comfortable out there. Are we now to assume you're back to your 2020-2021 form? Is that how you feel?
I mean, it's early on. Hopefully tomorrow, for the sake of me, yes. But, you know, it's a work in progress. Golf, there's so many ups and there's so many downs, right? And you don't quite know where you're at every single day, and you just do the best you can to really wake up and just enjoy where you're at. It's been a struggle the past 2 years, and it, you know, hasn't been fun, but it's been fun to learn about the game and learn about myself. And but yeah, I mean, it's the past few days I've seen some shots that I haven't seen in quite some time, and that's really, really exciting for me, because it's just being able to just, you know, point and shoot and find the ball and hopefully you got a birdie chance.
Chip.
I read about the putter change, and then apparently there was some swing tweaks earlier this week. I mean, is this Is this you generally? It seems like a lot of changes, you know, coming into a big event like this.
It is, but sometimes you're searching, and I had to search. I mean, you have to find something. And, you know, what my game was last week, if I took it out here the first 2 days, I probably wouldn't be here. I probably wouldn't be playing today. So you have to find something. And part of it, and, you know, I look back at a lot of my tournaments that I've played well at, you know, sometimes you search, and you're not searching, but you're just trying to find a feel. And that's all it is. Once you find that feel, you can repeat it and just put that on repeat all throughout the week. And that's kind of what I've stuck to, this one feel in my golf swing. And hopefully, we can just put that under pressure tomorrow and just continue that, you know, kind of shot shaping that I like.
Jeff?
Colin, we're kind of on schedule here in a traditional Masters where now we have a, you know, late tee time tomorrow, and you talked about your plan. How much of your plan is thinking about the traditional final round holes, and how much of it is just kind of checking out and forgetting about everything that's going on and relaxing?
I'll probably just stick to, you know, I'll probably wake up tomorrow and look at it and briefly glance through it, but you just don't know what to expect out here. I mean, today, as the round was going through, you could just tell the greens were just completely changing. Tomorrow, it's going to be even that much more bouncy, fast. I mean, like I said, I've never seen the course like this. You know, it was kind of leading up to that as the week started. We got some rain on Thursday, and but right now is probably exactly where Augusta wants it. And you know, I think some holes, some approach shots might have to be tweaked based on where I am, what clubs I'm hitting versus, you know, previous years for me.
Dan.
Got the toughest task in golf tomorrow, which is trying to chase down Scotty right now. Is there any part of you that will look at it as like I gotta beat him, or is it you're just going to be focused and kind of in your own bubble tomorrow?
You know, looking at the leaderboard, there's still quite a handful of guys beneath us, and I think the conditions are going to be pretty mellow for the most part compared to what we've seen all week, probably similar to today. So, you know, I think it's going to depend how the first 5 to 9 holes go. But yeah, I mean, look, Scotty's the number one player in the world for a reason, and what he's done over the past 2 years is incredible. And but at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't scare me. I still know that at my best and at what, you know, what I truly believe I can do. And you know, I saw a little glimpse of that early on today, and just didn't hit the shots I needed to. Didn't really make the putts on the back nine, or else, you know, I'd be even with him or one up. So it happens. It's golf. But thankfully I've got one more day. I've got 18 more holes to figure it out and hopefully, you know, play some really great golf.
Donna Reardon.
Colin, normally you guys would start learning this golf course on Thursday and be sort of dialed in by today. Did the 2 days of high winds deny you that opportunity, and you're really sort of discovering what this golf course is for the first time today?
You know, my first Masters was 2020, so every year has been rain, weather delays, softness. Every year, kind of by Sunday, you start to see it get bouncy. But like I said, today's the firmest I've ever seen it. So, no, I know what the golf course has in front of me. Like, it's not like I don't know where the slopes are and what's out there. It's just being able to plot yourself around a golf course that is quite different than where we started on Thursday afternoon.
Thank you.
Hey, Sean. Martin.
Are you able to elaborate on what you worked on in your swing this week, and what was a shot today that was one of those shots you talked about that kind of reminded you of old times?
No, I'm not going to let you know what I'm doing. Needed to work, you know, at least one more day. I would say, you know, the fifth hole today hit a drive down the middle at about 192, I believe, to that top pin right over the hill. I mean, just an impossible pin location. And it was a little downwind, a little off our right, choked down on a 6-iron and hit it just absolutely perfect. Landed right next to the pin, rolled out to 20 feet. And that's just a shot that I haven't seen in quite some time and have that freedom. And I'm very happy about that. I mean, sometimes the distances aren't going to be exact. And today I was a little bit off, especially kind of as the back nine was going on. But that's just a small adjustment of just, you know, figuring out where we're trying to land it or figuring out the wind a little bit better. You know, the wind out here is you're literally guessing. So to have those shots to draw back on and to have the, you know, a lot of shots beforehand in the previous few years, you know, I feel very, very comfortable. And like I said, you still got to execute the shots. So tomorrow we'll see if I can execute them.
Adam.
Colin, how long do you feel like you've been searching, and what was the level of your confidence heading into this week?
I've been searching probably since the beginning of 22. Got back from Dubai and just something didn't feel right. And, you know, some weeks are better than others. You know, some weeks you find something and you hope it works and you hope it lasts for weeks and months, and sometimes it doesn't. But to have that full freedom, you know, for a nice period of time, it's been a while. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's – what was the second part? Sorry.
A little confidence heading this week.
It was a little iffy, I'll be honest. It was a little iffy, you know, come Monday. But I spent a lot of time on that range on Monday, and JJ and I gave ourselves a high five kind of midway through our session because we found something that made sense in our heads, worked. And that's kind of the thought that we've continued throughout the rest of this week. So, look, at the end of the day, when you teed up on Thursday, especially knowing the conditions we were going to have, you throw everything out the window and you just got to hit shots. And if you're able to repeat something and you at least know where it's coming out of, at least you know where the start line is and relatively where it's going to curve, you can play shots. You know, for the past month or so, I've just kind of been hitting and hitting aimlessly, so that's kind of hard. But we found something. So, you know, maybe the confidence wasn't at the top tier that I've had in the past. But in no way did I believe or tell myself that I couldn't win it, because I fully believe that I can do it.
I've only got two questions more lined up. We're running out of time. So, Luke, here, please.
Colin, just wondering more broadly what you're working on the greens with Stephen and how that's going along.
Not much, to be honest. You know, every time we check the stroke on, you know, the mechanics and all that stuff, it looks as good as it ever has. So it's really just being able to see the lines, see the speed, and just stay creative and stay kind of artistic, you know, create that artwork out there. And that's the biggest thing out here, especially. You know, I've been using Aimpoint for just under a year now, and once you get to some putts out here, you just can't use them, and it's all feel. So, you know, you just got to be able to see the putts. And I hit some poor-ish putts speed-wise, but that's going to be good experience for going into tomorrow, knowing how it's going to play.
Todd, last one.
Colin, I'm not sure if you did this on the eve of winning the PGA Championship and thinking of holding the Wanamaker, or on the eve of winning the Open, holding the Claret Jug, but tonight or maybe tomorrow morning, will you allow yourself to think about having a green jacket slipped over your shoulders?
You know, it always crosses your mind. If it doesn't cross your mind, I don't know what the hell your mind's thinking about. I mean, you're purposely trying to block it out. So for me, I have to allow that to come. But you also have to allow yourself and learn how to think about and be present and think about where you're at, right? So, you know, yeah. I mean, when I started birdie, I 100% my mind thought about, you know, what could this round be like? What could this be? But my head always goes to a million different places, and you have to just know that when you do step into your shot, all you're thinking about is that one shot. So, yeah, I'm not going to say that it doesn't cross my mind. I mean, we're here on a Saturday night, and I'm one back, so I'm very excited about tomorrow. I have to take that and use that to my advantage, and just be able to really, when I grab that club out of the bag, be able to execute those golf shots as best as I can. Which is not by thinking about the jacket.
Thank you, Colin. Best of luck to you.
All right, thanks, everyone.
Hey, folks, what if you could take a weekly shot to lose weight? And better yet, keep it off. You lose weight, it comes back. You lose weight again, it comes back again. The cycle is the cycle is the cycle. It sounds familiar, does it not? It does to me. You know, remember when everybody was doing the juice cleanses and basically hungry all the time? There's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight than $20 smoothies and, of course, daily ice baths. Not for me. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at something for me. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Row Body Program, that's R-O Body Program, pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose, get this, 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average. And you actually keep it off. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. Row Body program members have support throughout the process. Important. The support is important. Row's partner handles all of the insurance paperwork to help get medication covered. Key. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. You can sign up online from the comfort of your own couch, your home. No doctor's appointment, no scheduling, no commute to the doctor's office, and more importantly than anything these days, no waiting rooms. So here's what I want you really to do, and let's do it now. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year, okay? Remember that. With healthy lifestyle changes, of course. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/golftalk. Sign up today, and you'll pay just $99 for the first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/golftalk. Do it today.
Hard, very patient. I would say frustrating at times, but also really, really pleased with it. I don't know what more I could have done. Could have seen some putts go in, but I didn't hate how I putt. Started the ball in line a lot. The greens got really fast, so adjusting to that took a couple holes. And, yeah, just hard to get it close to the hole. Didn't play the par fives well on the front. Got a funky lie on two, but other than that, I was pretty happy with that.
Seemed like you were playing pretty conservative off the tee on par fives, and was that part of your game plan? Kind of walk us through the strategy off the tee.
I just don't draw my driver real well. I can hit that low hook with the through that goes far. So, I mean, I had a 5-iron into two. That wasn't a lack of aggression, I don't think. It just fit better, and it goes as far as my cut, a perfect cut. And then eight, I played conservatively up the left so I could have a full number in my third. And then 13 is probably the one where I guess if I wish I could do something, it would be what Bryson did. But we kind of have to play that one just to, if we have a great number, we'll go. I could have gone today. So, and then 15, I have to hit the nuts if it's into the wind in general. And I actually just wanted to make a smooth swing. I would say that was the most conservative, but I kind of like it because I watched what he did, and it's a hard second shot with how firm the greens are to that pin. So I think if there was a back right pin, something that fit a little better, I might give it a little more off the tee. But yeah, I don't know. It's been working. I'm a very good wedge player, so I like to rely on that.
Max, you have not really been in the mix, obviously, in majors yet. Can you? I mean, I know you're just off the course for the round here, but can you speak to what you'll think about tonight and you know, just kind of how stoked you are about being
here? Yeah. I played today with a ton of gratitude and appreciation for the opportunity to do this. I'm really glad I get to do it again tomorrow, and I'm going to remind myself I'm a dog, and I'm ready for this moment.
Are you one who, you know, imagines it happening, or are you one who try to stay present? You know, all the different cliches, like where you kind of fall in the spectrum of those things.
All of it. If I catch myself, thinking about what could go wrong, I let myself dream about what could go right. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I didn't know what was going to happen today. If you told me I made no birdies today, I would have thought I imploded. So you just kind of go with the flow. So I let myself go both ways, but once I'm playing, I'm very present.
How would you describe the challenge that you think, you know, when you wake up tomorrow morning, what the day will be like?
Very glad I went through it today. This morning got tough, left the gym, and then all of a sudden the nerves hit. So I'm glad I did it once before. So I've had a lot of firsts playing with Tiger here the first 2 days, being in the last group at the Masters on Saturday. So I feel like by tomorrow, I think I have a good game plan of how I'm going to assess or how I'm going to approach the morning, and I'm quite excited about it.
What do you think today you've been going through this?
I just think I'll be comfortable with it. Just because I was nervous didn't mean I couldn't do anything. I had an impossibly hard chip on one and got up and down. So I think that's the thing is I was really nervous on 18 and poured it right in the middle. I don't know. It doesn't, just because you're nervous and uncomfortable doesn't mean you're not going to succeed. So I feel like I showed myself that. So even if I am nervous tomorrow, I'll just embrace it a little bit.
Just that game plan that you're talking about, where does it kind of unique aspects of
Augusta fit in that? Like, not exactly knowing what's happening on the scoreboard, not knowing what's going on at any given time. Like do you even are you even gotten there yet of how to handle those things?
No, I guess I'll learn that a bit tomorrow. I mean, I've had some pretty good success on Sundays. I've won 7 tournaments worldwide in the last few years, so I get how it all works. There's going to be maybe unique opportunities, like, you know, if today was tomorrow and we had that shot in 15, might have gone for it, but maybe not. You know, it just you still have to pick your spots. I remember DeMarco playing against Tiger in 05, and he laid up on 15. I remember he got asked a lot of questions about laying up, but I think he made birdie. So doesn't change the score necessarily. And like I said, that shot's very difficult. So you need a good number, and I didn't have one today. But you know, tomorrow's another day, and we'll just see what we got.
Recent research that you've done?
No, I watched all the Masters probably 700 times, especially the Tiger ones.
One more day tomorrow, but what have you learned about yourself this week?
I'm a very good golfer. I learned that, so I'm going to take that one with me.
Thanks, Max. Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Max.
Thank you.
Let's go, Max.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. That's key. Keep the money. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce cost and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. And I have to tell you, in all honesty, in all of my years in business in my past life before broadcasting, we used multiple systems. We didn't have one system for financial, one for, you know, the accounting, one for management of inventory, HR. Nothing talked to each other. It was a headache. I wish I had had this product when I was running a business as a CEO. So let's talk about it a little bit. NetSuite's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. Hallelujah. Accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes. Did I say processes? Processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies, folks, have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Okay? The product is absolutely incredible. As I said earlier, I wish we had had NetSuite in my businesses in my years as a CEO. So here's what I want you to do. And I want you to do this right now. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/golftalk. That's netsuite.com/golftalk. netsuite.com/golftalk.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's our pleasure to have Scottie Scheffler back in the interview room. Scottie, thank you for your time. You find yourself in a familiar position atop the leaderboard headed into the final round. How will you draw on your experience from 2 years ago as you prepare for tomorrow?
Yeah, I think I'll have a better understanding of what the morning's like tomorrow. But, yeah, I'm proud of how I played today. It was a good fight out there. The golf course was extremely challenging. I mean, the greens were very firm, very fast, and it was extremely difficult again today. So probably looking for more of the same tomorrow.
Thank you. With that, we'll open it up for questions. Jeffrey?
Scottie, you had dropped a couple shots, and then you make the big eagle at 13. We saw some nice emotion there on that green. Just take us through what you were releasing there.
Yeah, well, you know, I made the turn. I felt like I missed some opportunities there on 8 and 9. And then I hit what was a decent shot into 10. It lands, you know, obviously I wasn't trying to land it back there by the pin, but I get a bad gust and it lands 8 feet from the pin. And it ends up in the bushes back there and I make double. And then make another bogey there at 11. And all of a sudden I'm probably going from in the lead to a few out of the lead, and then you know, things can happen pretty fast out there. And you know, going to number 12, I had another good shot, and it just went over the green and hit a nice pitch, and all of a sudden I'm looking at another 7-footer for par, and you know, I knocked that one in. And then that putt on 13 was nice because it was trickling up there towards the cup, but I didn't know whether or not it was going to get there, and it kind of just nudged right over the edge and went in. So it was exciting, and you know, it was nice to be able to steal a couple shots there on 13 and kind of get back in the tournament.
Jeff?
Scotty, the back nine played a couple shots over par today, and the, you know, even though the wind was kind of quiet for you guys on the back, it looked like a few times you looked at some cups like 14 that you thought were just in weird spots. Was it just really tough hole locations?
I mean, the greens just got ridiculously fast and firm. The reason I was looking at 14 is because I'm putting down that hill. It wasn't that it was at a weird location. It was just, I mean, it was basically like putting up to like a small volcano there. That can happen at the end of the day when, you know, you have a lot of guys stepping there to pick their ball up out of the hole. You know, the area around the cup will become lower and the cup will raise a bit. That one was a bit more aggressive than I've seen. Like, if you watch my putt from behind, you can see it kind of going up towards the cup and then just like rides the side of it and goes off. Because I thought I had a chance to go in. It didn't even come close. But yeah, it was very challenging out there. But, you know, it's a major championship. I don't think Augusta wants their golf course to be very easy. So,
Brantley.
Scotty, 2 years ago, you had a pretty emotional Masters Sunday morning, and you kind of credited Meredith for helping you get in the right state of mind. What do you anticipate tomorrow morning being like with her not here and with Sam no longer here with you either?
It'll be a little different. I didn't want to be alone at the house, so I recruited a few of my friends to come stay with me that were in town. So we got a couple of my close buddies at the house. You know, it's kind of the same group that's been in the Bahamas with us the last few years. And they came over this morning, maybe some breakfast, and we hung out, and then I came to the course. And so it'll just be more of that tomorrow, probably calm air and chill and relax. But, yeah, I didn't want to be in a house all by myself, you know, this weekend. Didn't really seem like that exciting to me. So I'd rather have some friends staying with me.
Claire.
Hi, Scotty. So what are you guys going to do tonight, maybe to get your mind off it, have for dinner?
With these guys, it'll be pretty easy for us not to talk about golf. We got some fun guys that, you know, they're some of my closest friends. And it's just be nice to get some time together, probably order some food, hang out, maybe play some cards, who knows. I really don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
Chip. Sean.
You spend a lot of time walking on the back nine staring at your shoes, and I was wondering if that's a conscious decision, and if so, why? You're looking down instead of looking around.
I really couldn't tell you. Maybe my Nikes just looked really white or something. No, I do my best to try and stay in my own little world out there. And sometimes, you know, when you get little surprises like I did there on 10 and 11, just try and do my best to stay in the moment. So maybe that's why my head was down a bit more. But I wasn't consciously thinking about that.
Marty.
Sorry to pile on the emotional thing, brother, but what for you personally, what is the emotional value of having been in this position before, having done it before?
I mean, I'm not really sure how to describe it. I mean, it's nice having that experience, but going into tomorrow, that's really all that it is. And I can, you know, reflect on some of the stuff from that round. And this is a position that I'm very familiar with, and I'm excited for the challenge of going and trying to win the golf tournament tomorrow. But at the end of the day, it really is all about my process and, you know, staying patient out there and just trying to hit good shots and hit some quality putts as well.
Jose.
Yep. Scotty, the par fives on the back nine are always important. How big was for you the eagle at 13 and then the birdie at 15 to change back the momentum back to you today?
Yeah, I would say extremely important. You know, that's why I think you saw a bit of emotion there for me on 13, because that was, you know, an important time in the tournament. And it was nice kind of turning my Sunday or my Saturday around. And I felt like I didn't take advantage of the two par fives on the front. So it was nice to get a few shots back there on the back nine.
Kevin.
You've been a great putter when you were a kid. You probably made 1,000 putts that you looked at. What does it feel like to be able to, like, trust your eyes again, to be like, I'm going to start it on this line and it's going to go in?
Yeah, it's a good place to be. I feel like I'm starting most of my putts online, and I'm in a comfortable spot with my game. And, I'm definitely excited about tomorrow. And, yeah, I think at times last year I've talked about it a decent amount, but I think I was just overthinking things. And so it's nice to be able to just put the ball down and use my eyes and just try and see that ball go in the hole. And, it's a good place to be.
Brody?
First off, you said yesterday you made yourself breakfast for the first time. What did you make?
Eggs and some toast. It's pretty,
You delegated today.
Huh?
You delegated today to your friends?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But because you're in final groups so often, it is something you've gotten so used to. I guess what have you learned about the preparation, the process you talk about how to handle these kind of weekend final rounds?
Yeah, I think managing my energy, managing my expectations. You know, I've talked about it a little bit, but I do have high expectations for myself, and I try to do my best to get that stuff out of the way in the morning. And by the time I get to the course, it's kind of getting into my own little world and just trying to hit shots. You know, being patient out there, I think, is really important, especially on a day like today. I mean, it was a frustrating day to be playing this golf course. It was so challenging, and you know, like y'all said, the wind was down, but I can't imagine it played much easier this afternoon than it did yesterday morning when some of the guys were out there. I'd be interested to see what the scores were like.
Adam.
Scotty, on the broadcast, they mentioned again that if Meredith were to go into labor, that you would leave. And I'm just curious, hypothetically, what's the scenario? Who does she call? Do you have a private jet waiting? How would that work?
Yeah, I definitely have a way to get home pretty quickly. And yeah, we have somebody here that has access to their cell phone. That's all right. and yes, I'll be available to go home at when, you know, whenever I need to.
You think she'll call?
She better call.
Simon?
Final round, obviously, final group, and the big crowds are going to be following you around. Are you somebody who feeds off that energy from the crowd, or do you try and block it out? How do you think it'll affect you?
Yeah, I think I try to feed off the energy from the crowd a little bit. It's nice walking onto these tee boxes and getting a nice ovation. You know, I think number 12 was kind of one of those moments for me today. You know, double 10 and bogey 11, and then we were walking up to that tee on 12, and everybody kind of stands up behind the tee and starts cheering me on. It's a really nice feeling to have the crowd behind you, and I try to embrace that as much as possible out there.
Ryan?
You've talked before about the game and ongoing count that you and Ted have with the number of hole outs from around the green. Why do you think you have such a knack for doing that?
For holing out around the greens? Gosh, I'm not really sure. I think I spent a lot of time around the short game area at Royal Oaks when I was a kid, and there was a lot of pros out there that I used to watch and try to chip and putt with them because I couldn't compete with them on the golf course yet, but I felt like I could compete with them on and around the greens. And so that was always fun for me to get some of the pros out there when I was a young kid and challenge them to short game contests. So I think I learned from a young age how to chip and chip under pressure.
Brendan.
Okay. I apologize if you were asked anything like this, but you were so open a couple years ago after you won, talking about the prior night and just trying to sleep and kind of just everything that was happening. Do you think, or how do you think you'll sleep on the lead tonight? Do you think you'll actually get, you know, hours of sleep or what?
Yeah, a couple years ago, I actually got a great night's sleep. Mm. It was just an unusual position for me because at the time, starting 2022, I hadn't won yet on tour. I had a good Ryder Cup, and I had played a lot of consistent golf, but I still hadn't won on tour. And then all of a sudden, I win Phoenix, the match play, and Bay Hill. And then I win the match play to get to number one in the world, show up here as number one in the world. And then going into Sunday, I think Meredith and I were just a little bit emotional about what was going on at the time because our lives were changing at a very rapid pace. And I think now we've settled into a little bit more of where our lives are at. And right now, you know, the most exciting thing for us is not winning the Masters. It's a baby coming here pretty soon. And so things are a lot different now, and I feel like we've both matured. But I think a lot of that emotion from Sunday morning a few years ago was more about just how quickly our life was changing. And it was more of a, are we ready for this type of thing? And yeah, that's when Mary gave me that nice speech, and here we are.
Jinjin.
Thank you so much, Scotty. Congratulations for leading the game. So actually, it seems like you played a turbulent round. Actually, can you talk about the input of your caddy, Tats? Is there anything interesting to talk about? How did he help you out in this round?
Yeah, he did a good job of keeping me in a good headspace out there. Like I said, definitely had some surprises there in the middle of the round. I felt like I was in a great position on 8, didn't get up and down, and then I missed a pretty makeable birdie putt there on 9, and then 10, we get the weird wind gust to make double, and 11 make bogey. So all of a sudden, you know, I go from being probably in the lead to out of the lead, and Ted's, you know, does a good job of keeping us focused on the task at hand, and, you know, we did a good job of keeping ourselves in the tournament today.
Krishnaswamy.
Scotty, we know how close you are and friends with Bubba Watson. He won that in 12 and 14. And here you are with the possibility of 22 and 24. Have you had a chance to speak with them or discuss anything with them?
Nothing like that. I had breakfast with Bubba this week, maybe on Tuesday. But outside of that, I hadn't seen him too much this week. But, yeah, we are good friends. I don't get to see him as often as I used to. But, yeah, he's still a good friend of mine. And, you know, it's nice to see him when I can.
Marty.
Scotty, who are the friends that you called to be with you this week? And how do you know them, and what do they mean in your life?
You know, it's just a group of my closest friends. Some of them from college, some of them from post-grad. We have a small group together at home with our wives, and, you know, they got permission to come here this week. Some of them who've also had babies recently, so it's nice for them to be able to get permission to come hang. And it's similar to I've had a group of friends come with me to the Bahamas for the last couple of years, and we've had just a great time. And I think these guys came maybe for the practice rounds last year, and now they're coming they decided to come for the tournament this year, and it worked out nicely. Or I guess not nicely, but it worked out decently that, you know, I wasn't at home alone all weekend. Obviously, Sam didn't plan on missing the cut, and, you know, me being all alone. So it was nice that they were kind of there to step in and, you know, keep me company this weekend.
Adam.
There were a bunch of players this week who, when they've had a stretch of holes like what you did at 10 and 11, they've tumbled down the leaderboard. What was it that helped you to be able to stanch the bleeding there?
Yeah, I think just staying patient, understanding that kind of stuff was going to happen. And it wasn't like I really hit that many bad shots. It was a hard golf course. And I would say that putt on 12 was extremely important, but about a 7-footer up the hill, which when the greens are fast and bumpy, those are not the easiest putts to hole. And it was nice to see that ball go in. And then, you know, use that momentum to keep things rolling there at 13 and into the finish.
Thank you, Scotty, and best of luck tomorrow.
Thanks, y'all.
Well, so there you have it. Saturday is over. Sunday is before us. We are about to see some really good golf. I mean, let's face it, with Scheffler, Morikawa, Homa, Oberg, DeChambeau, Schauffele, there are going to be some people who make some runs. And we're going to see what Tiger Woods does, too. He needs to at least post a good score today and hopefully turn around what was yesterday just a terrible, terrible round for him. Again, in his interview, he said he just hasn't had enough, reps in competition. We understand that. But still, no matter what he does, everybody loves to see Tiger Woods. I'm Frank Bassett for the crew at Golf Talk America, for our sponsors, NetSuite, for Row Body, for Factor, and as always, we are the exclusive equipment sponsor of Golf Talk America. We really enjoy being affiliated with PXG. Nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, period. Again, I'm Frank Bassett saying, enjoy Masters Sunday. Turn off your cell phones and spend time with the family in front of the TV if you're not here in Augusta. If you're here in Augusta, enjoy a pimento cheese sandwich, a cold beer, and have fun on the course.